This tape is part of the Women's Overseas Service League Oral Histories Project.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary Myers and Betty Booker are doing the interviewing of Miriam. Marion Merriman from the Pittsburgh unit of the Women's Overseas Service League. So Marion, we're just going to ask a few questions and look for informal answers.
Well, anything connected with the Overseas League.
I think we'd like to know what organization sponsored you with
YMCA
with your overseas service. And first we want to look at some of the background before you went over for this service. What prompted you to volunteer for this service?
Well, as I said, probably adventure.
Adventure.
I guess so. That was about it.
The excitement.
Yeah, I was young.
Had you been connected with this organization before you did this volunteer?
No, it was a men's organization, YMCA.
Oh, it was the YMCA, that's right.
Oh, yes, they had me at the convention, YW, I wasn't. No. That was the hostess housework, and I didn't have anything to do with it.
But it was the
YMCA. They sent the women overseas.
Oh, okay. After you volunteered, did you have any special preparation for going overseas?
Well, we had to take certain things with us. We had to take a year's supply of sugar. We had to take a year's supply of toilet paper. We had to take canned heat.
Dear.
And well, they didn't have anything over there in that tobacco in those days. And we had to take heavy underwear. But we used our ways to swap for things when we got over there. Soap.
Barter.
Soap, you could buy anything in Paris for a cake of soap.
Is that right?
They were so short, you know, handed. But we had to take all those things. We could allow a steamer trunk, and we had to fill it up with a cocoa. We had to take cocoa. It's a long time ago. I don't remember all the things. But the toilet paper, we could get anything in Europe for that.
Is that right? Oh. Could you tell us a little bit about your trip overseas?
Yes. We went over on the old Chicago, the French liner, and we had no escort because we carried the German mail, Swiss mail. It took us 18 days. We zigzagged, but we didn't go with any group. No escort at all, because we were carrying the Swiss and the German mail.
So you didn't have to worry about the submarines then?
We saw plenty of them. No, we didn't have to worry.
And you weren't
think it worried me anyway.
You weren't attacked at all?
No.
Do you remember the date that you went overseas?
Well, it was in July, but I don't remember. 1918.
1918. And try the next.
Part of this you did answer for us about the pay or the assignment if you had to wear a uniform.
Yes, we had to. They furnished the uniform.
But you didn't.
Except that we had to buy extra when we got over there because the uniform wasn't warm enough. We bought leather coats.
Did you?
Allowed to wear them.
And the pay, though, you said that you had to pay $200. Is that right? They didn't pay you.
Oh, no, no. We paid them. We had to put up $200.
And when you got over there, what kind of housing did you have?
Well, we were lucky. We were willing to sleep four in a room so we could stay at the hostess house, the YWCA hostess house.
So it was accommodations were good then?
Well, they were the best we could get.
And did you have specified times of work, you know, hours of working?
You know, like all the time.
All the time. There was just no 7 to 3 and
no.
3 to 11. Yeah. You were on call 24 hours.
The canteen was open from 11 in the morning until 11 at night. But we had to make all our sandwiches and our cocoa for 3,000 people. It was a leave area, Palais de Glace.
It was Paris. In France, yeah.
It was in Paris. Did you stay in Paris most of the time?
Yes, we stayed in Paris until after the armistice.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went up. Then after that, I was up with the 110th Engineers of the 30th Division, Kansas and Missouri troops at a canteen. Up there. Mm-hmm. And then from there I went up to the Army of Occupation in Germany, Koblenz.
Oh, uh-huh.
Met my husband up there.
Oh,
well, that was nice.
What service, who was he with? Engineers?
Machine gun.
Machine gun battalion.
He wasn't with them up there, he was detached service.
Detached.
This was after the war.
Uh-huh.
And up there there was no need of canteen, so they put me in the entertainment department, sending out entertainers to the different units. I had done some of that in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody found out that I was good at figures, so I had to take care of all the entertainers' expense accounts. That was extra work. I went over in the morning for that.
This was entertainers for the troops over there?
Yes, mostly vaudevillians. In those days, the vaudeville was very popular. And they were easy to handle. They didn't have to have any scenery or anything, you know. They just put on their acts. They were a circus. It was a lot of fun.
Uh-huh. Do you have any social activities other than your canteen work?
Not until after the armistice. After that, every outfit in the place had dances. And I wore out 14 pairs of shoes.
I think that's
my father sent me a pair every month.
I'm enjoying it.
And I came home with with the sole of my shoe fastened to my foot with a rubber band. I danced all the way across the Atlantic coming home.
I think that is precious.
Oh, dear.
Do you remember any special experiences that were...
Oh, so many.
So many, so huh? So anything?
We were treated royally by the men. Never had any trouble with them at all.
They had a lot of respect.
Yes, I think it was quite different then. They just were so glad to see us, you know.
Do you remember any other humorous
like the shoes.
Experiences besides your shoes wearing out?
Not that I know of. We didn't take anything home we took over. We had swapped everything over there. We were full of souvenirs and stuff coming home.
So your trunks had different things in coming home?
Yeah, they went to different places. Part of them went to New York, and we landed in Norfolk, Virginia. We came home on a destroyer.
Did you have to provide your own transportation then from Norfolk to home?
Where?
You say you landed in Norfolk?
Oh, yes. No, it was...
No, they took care of you then.
We came home and came up to New York. Mm-hmm. I had to pay from New York. Oh. But they brought us up on a troop train. See, I went in from New York instead of Boston, because I could get in earlier there.
Uh-huh. Yes. Uh-huh. So, were you aware of... at all of what was going on at that time as far as the battles were concerned and the countries that were the Allied troops, different Allied troops? I
don't quite understand.
Well, I was trying to see if, you know, as a volunteer over there working with the troops, you know, the American forces were part of the Allied forces. Mm-hmm. And
well, the only connection we had, one night a week, we'd stay up all night and go to the station and meet the wounded coming in from the battlefield. And they would be French, British, Australian, or American.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But they were the badly wounded, and they'd be laid out on the platform. And in those days, you could give them a cigarette or a drink of water, you know. Nowadays, they wouldn't let you do that, but we could give them a drink of water or a cigarette and talk to them, take their home addresses and write letters to the two families. This was one night a week. That's all they'd let us do, because we didn't go to bed. We had to go to work right from there. Oh, we worked. We really did
work.
There
certainly sounds like it.
Over there.
There
were a lot of nurses, but very few others.
And you already, I think, addressed this, but you were never threatened by being a female amongst many males.
Oh, no. They were wonderful to us.
Does the YMCA provide the same type of service today?
Didn't in the Second World War. The Army had something to do with that, I think. You see, there were a lot of services in the First World War. Jewish Welfare Board, the Irish, what would they be? Well, all different kinds of American Library Association that Viola was with. They combined everything in the Second World War.
Yeah.
It was easier for them to keep track of them.
You're right.
Today, you know, after World War II, they had a pension. Well, World War I, did you have any benefits at all?
No. We had no connection with the Army, whatever.
Nothing with the government, either. You know, as far as benefits.
We had to get passes from them on the railroad.
Okay.
We paid for them, but we had to get them, and billets.
Mm-hmm. Billets. Mm-hmm.
And the billets were not so hot.
Sure.
We had one up in Koblenz, in Cologne. They gave us one, it was over a saloon. And we stayed up all night guarding the doors. They all found two women upstairs. We moved all the furniture over in front of the doors and the windows. They were all trying to get in. But that was not the American troops. These weren't troops at all. They were just civilians, so to speak. But that was the only trouble we ever had. But no, they just treated us royally. Appreciated every little thing you did for them.
Do you have any friends from that time living?
No, they've all. I've outlived them all. There were four of us that went over. Well, we met on the boat, but we were in one stateroom. And we kept in track until, but the other three were a lot older than I was.
When you came back, did you continue any type of service like this here? after the war. Do you remember where you were when the armistice was signed? Do you remember where you were when the armistice was signed, November 11th, 1918?
Oh, yes, in Paris. Wouldn't have been anywhere else. The 11 o'clock, the church bells began to chime, and everybody rushed down the streets. Those streets were just packed, and the opera house, they were rehearsing there for an opera, and all these stars came out on the balcony and sang the Marseillaise, and it was picked up by everybody in the street, you know. And then that night the lights came on for the first time in 4 years. Oh. And that was a thrill.
Dramatic.
Yes, I wouldn't have been anywhere else for that one.
But you stayed a while after that, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I didn't come back until October the next year. Went up the Army of Occupation.
Were your services similar after that? You still had canteens?
Well, there was no shooting. Yeah, it was the same thing, but up in Germany, they were sending the troops home, and there was no need of the canteens there. They had one, but there was no need of the other ones with the troops. So that was when I went in with the entertainment department. We had a lot of famous entertainers.
Who do you remember?
Elsie Janis. She was famous. There were a lot of them, I don't remember all of them. Mostly vaudevillians, but
You remember any famous songs from that time?
Yeah, the Second World War adopted all the five.
She said Marseille.
Yeah, well, that's their... Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the French.
I know, but that's...
Over there.
Well, those were the troop songs, yes. This in Paris was the French national anthem. But that was quite a night. Yes, but the Second World War took over most of the World War One songs. They weren't much different.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had we didn't have any Air Force songs because there wasn't much of an Air Force. They had airplanes, but they could only fly at night when there was a full moon because they had no lights in the cities at all. And we had one bomb that fell in our courtyard of our hotel, but it didn't go off.
Oh, gosh.
Fortunately.
Oh, my God.
But they could only come over in the full moon.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because they couldn't see the city. No lights. So, and those airplanes that they flew, you wonder how they stayed up. It was no, only just place for your feet underneath. You could look right down. True.
Is that right?
They were biplanes. They had a roof and just boxes.
Oh.
And the aviators were drunk all the time. They said that you wouldn't go up in one of those things.
If you weren't, that would be terrible.
They were a pretty wild crowd.
They were worse than the helicopters. You know, when she says you look down.
Well, they were just crates, put together, slaps. And they were hitched in.
Right.
You wonder how they ever found one town. They had a lot of fighting up there too in the daytime. But
you have any other thoughts you'd like to share with us?
I don't think of it now. I think of anything now.
Okay, that's very.
There were so many incidents of interest that. You'd meet somebody you know on the street, and they looked like old friends, even if they hadn't known them.
That continued in World War II, also.
Yes, it continues anywhere you go. It does in civilian life. We met somebody down in Panama that we knew were almost neighbors up here, and we never seen them, you know. That happens everywhere.
When you came back, Marion, did you have a hard adjustment back in the States because you were born like it was hard, wasn't it, to return
you
back?
You lost all, missed all the excitement.
Right, right. And what were the news, you know, media like that at that time? Did they write all these big stories and, you know, fear?
No, there weren't too many, I don't
know.
Not like now.
Now, that's what, World War II, the media, I think, played a big part into
We didn't have radio, we didn't have television.
Well, that's why there I was about news.
There was some communication by radio, very little, in the army.
That's why.
We didn't have automobiles, you know.
No.
All the ammunition, the heavy ammunition, was pulled by horses. You can't
That's
realize the difference.
Yes.
They had taxis, and they had a few taxis you could get when they, except at noontime when you wanted them. They, you faut manger. They had to have lunch for 2 hours.
I do think that some of the reactions today in the Army, it's caused by a lot what the media gives over the
radio. I think they influence everything.
That's why I asked,
We had telephones, of course.
Yes.
But, of course, television was way in the future. Nobody would ever dream of it.
No.
And,
I was in France too. I served in France, our unit. So when you say Paris, I could have envisioned that on Armistice of 1919.
Well, it was quite
Arc of Triumph.
See, they didn't have any lights at night, and when we came home from the canteen, we had to come home in the dark. You knew every brick.
Sure.
Knew every brick in the wall, and you knew every bump in the street. You couldn't see them, but you got used to them. But it's quite a city. I loved it. Part of our work there was, it was a leave area and after the armistice, and part of our work was showing them in the city.
Oh, that was interesting, because you had learned through, from the minute you came, adjusting.
If we hadn't, we
Self-survival.
So, but we really did work awfully hard. It was fun. It's fun to work hard if you enjoy it. Never a dull moment.
Did you speak French at that time?
Well, I had been to school over there. I didn't know some, but.
So you didn't have
I don't know any now. I haven't had any practice for 60 years, and I just don't.
I had my high school French, which was very limited, but
it
I
doesn't
learned
do you much good over
the
there.
The only thing I learned to say, eggs and food. I learned that to survive when we were out in the country. We were in a staging area. But you're right. If you just know a few words, but.
Well, now I guess you don't need very much. My husband knew two words, and he ate a lot of eggs. He dessert.
That's what I was saying. It was my first. We were in the country, fresh eggs.
Dessert, two eggs. He lived on two eggs.
That's right.
Oh, dear. He tried it out in Montreal and didn't work.
Oh, did he?
That's a French.
The waiter said, two eggs.
Well, that's very good, Mary.
It was.
Well, we appreciate this time and this lunch.
Well, I'm glad
everything.
To do this. I didn't have any personal stuff. That was
I feel I gained. I learned as much as anything. You know, I had no idea.
Well, there's so much difference in the two wars.
Yes.
Of course, they're 20 years apart, but so much different in life. Everything is different.
Right.
Communications.
Well, it changes over the
besides
years.
Besides, it was new sending women all the
time.
That was the first time to been done.
Now, in this, you know, any conflicts, it would be a feminist movement as opposed to a male, you know, then you didn't think, but now.
I think some women are crazy. Why do they want to do things?
I still want people to open the door for me.
Well, I still like to be a woman.
That's why I'm saying.
Some things that are ridiculous.